I'm Frank Vaughn. It's June 10th, 2025, as I still wrestle with some kind of sinus and chest infection. I get the feeling it's going to go on for a little while longer. The noose is tightening around provincial autonomy here in this country. I started building on that theme yesterday, but you need to understand how insidious it is, and it's coming from all different directions, and I'm not sure the premiers are taking it seriously. Most of them are complicit. Some might just be lacking in bravery. One at least seems to be signaling things the right way. We're talking about Trojan horse bills, whose entire objective is to undermine provincial power within this country. Mark Carney is intending to fully federalize this state, and he doesn't even really need parliament to do it. Though, he's going to go for it anyway, with bills like C5, which has received some attention. Bill C2 has received some attention. But several of the pieces of legislation and or proposed pieces of legislation and their impact have been underassessed by a lot of people. Not really talked about it. Let's look at one right now. This is Bill C207. It was introduced just today. Bill C207, an act to amend the Canada Pension Plan, sponsored by Ms. McPherson, a Liberal MP. This enactment amends the Canadian Pension or the Canada Pension Plan to provide that the consent of at least two-thirds of the provinces that do not provide a comprehensive pension plan is required before a province may adopt such a plan. The insertion, provincial consent, under Section 3 of the Canada Pension Plan is amended by adding the following. Regulations under Subsection 2 may only be made if the Lieutenant Governor and Council of each of at least two-thirds of the provinces that are not provinces providing a comprehensive pension plan, having in total not less than two-thirds of the population of all those provinces, has signified the consent of that province. What they're saying is, a province that wants out of the CPP, you're not going to be allowed unless all the other provinces let you out. This should be a much more important piece of legislation, because this is just one of the many Trojan horses that are coming down from the Carney government. They're trying to put a noose around the provinces. This separation interest, this talk of autonomy and sovereignty, has scared the bejesus out of this federal government, a federal government that's trying to take us closer to the EU, while at the same time, for the purposes of political optics, I would say in the moment, because we are only 6 months into the Trump administration, give or take, for political optics, we have to get along with the United States. This idea Carney campaigned on, that the era of close integration with the United States is over, is not over yet. We have 3.5 years. There's no real way to extricate the Canadian economy from the United States. Clyde Do-Something put out a video a while ago where he talked about Canada's greatest asset, its greatest marketable feature, being its proximity to the United States. And I thought that was really poignant. I've said similar things, but I haven't said it so succinctly. So he did a really good job there, summarizing what we have. If we truly seek to get away from the United States, if that foolish trajectory is what we want to pursue, we want to integrate with China, we want to integrate with the EU, which are oceans away, if that's really what we want to pursue, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. And so Carney proceeds to satisfy Donald Trump, doing things in terms of deals with the Americans that if Polyev did, if Polyev sent up these signals, he would have been lambasted in our media and he would have been assaulted by every single left-wing influencer in this country. But because it's Carney breaking core features of his campaign promises, no one bats an eyelash. It's incredibly disconcerting. But back to the point, the things that we're going to discuss in this video and the things that we're bringing to light, as I said, are Trojan horses. The offer is going to be, even though this government for the last 10 years has opposed everything that would increase Canadian sovereignty, that would have made us less dependent on the United States, building pipelines, Energy East, more pipelines over the Rockies to get our product to Tidewater, everything that they've torpedoed, the Carney government, which I find it interesting too, the media has shifted away from referring to the government as the liberal government. They're now almost universally using the phrase Carney government. They didn't use the phrase Trudeau government as much as they're using Carney government. They preferred liberal government. It's like they're trying to subtly make you forget that the government that's in power right now is the exact same government that's been in office this entire time. But more to the point, this government, which has opposed every single action which would have made us less dependent on the United States, is going to offer to save the provinces so unfairly targeted and held down by their own policies the solution. They're going to say, we're going to get your product to Tidewater, even though they are fully subscribed to the net zero ideology, even though they are completely opposed to actually doing that. They're going to offer that. And they're going to say, in return, you're going to have to surrender some of your sovereignty. It's kind of like a play on the whole trading freedom for safety. The provinces are going to lose freedom of action in return for promised federal prosperity. But once the provinces give their power away, once they delegate that power to Ottawa, they're not going to get it back. And if you want evidence for this, I've already provided some in the last video. In 6 minutes, I showed you some. But here's just the latest example. Bill C-207. You're not getting out of the CPP unless Ontario and Quebec allow you to get out. And I just want to give you a bit of a reminder. Right here at the top of this proposal, first session, 45th Parliament, Charles III, 2025, the King's name's at the top. And in the process of looking up who the person was that was backing this bill, I wanted to know a bit of background. It became unimportant. I accidentally tripped over Mary Lou McFedrin, who was, as it says right here, appointed to the Senate of Canada by Governor General David Johnston on the recommendation of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in 2016. The only thing I want to highlight here is that it's not the Prime Minister who appoints senators. It's the Governor General. It's the King's representative. A lot of people say this is just symbolic ceremony. It's not. It's fundamentally structural to our constitutional monarchy. This is not a democracy. This is a constitutional monarchy. And people should be able to at least admit that. Everything is framed around the majesty of the king and his representative. That's what allows Carney to rule free of a budget. Parliament's chief duty is supposed to be a watchdog and provide oversight and approval of spending. But Carney is spending billions of dollars without tabling a budget. He's going to go into summer. He's committed to upping our defense spending massively. And it's not aimed outward. There will be an outward component aimed at Russia, the dreaded Russian state, which seems, as I highlighted, I've highlighted in a couple of private conversations, so I guess I haven't highlighted it on my channel. But it is amazing how much value in terms of money spent, considering the Russian Federation's GDP is roughly equal to that of Canada, that they are able to run a foreign interference game in every single Western nation, something that threatens the entire global order on a fraction of the budget. They're the great boogeyman of the world. They're not on the march. They're on the defensive. Now, we're going to go through Scott Moe and Premier Smith's timelines. We're going to see how seriously they're taking this erosion of provincial autonomy. I've highlighted in the past how the Saskatchewan Party has done a good job tabling and passing legislation that protects Saskatchewan autonomy. But this government, in its brief sitting in the House, has tabled multiple bills that specifically weaken the province's position. None more so than C-5, the One Canadian Economy Act. So on behalf of Saskatchewan, he's talking about thank you for aircrafts fighting fires. That's wonderful. Okay. The wildfires are very real. What we need is rain. Those people who think that any premier or prime minister, regardless of party, can wave a magic wand and stop wildfires once they've started is delusional. The fires in Saskatchewan are massive. The best that we can possibly hope to do is protect lives and property. We need Mother Nature to put them out. And we need more preventative forest management policies if we're going to do anything about it. You either have to remove the deadfall and the deadwood, or you have to burn it in controlled burns. And you have to do so in a procedurally consistent way. When the government decides that you can't remove deadfall because of Mother Nature, they are just creating... If you don't remove it or burn it, and you allow it to build up, and every time it tries to burn, you put it out right away. You're just delaying the inevitable. You're making future fires more massive. It's not climate change. It's the actions of humans. The natives, who we love to have land acknowledgments every time we do a hockey game or anytime anybody speaks or the king comes over, he has to do a land acknowledgment. The natives who lived here before did a lot of burning. They burned a lot of bush because they recognized that the forest is always trying to burn. Just is what it is. Nobody can wave a magic wand to make it better, but all of these people should be celebrated. So I'm not going to pick on Mo for that. Big news for healthcare in Saskatchewan, making it easier for you and your family to see a healthcare provider. That's probably good news. We have an order of merit. We have mental health and addictions minister. Today our government increased financial supports for wildfire evacuees. Oh, hockey. Good. We got hockey. The world changed. We have, I mean, this is awesome. The problem is when it comes to D-Day and when it comes to Remembrance Day, I can honestly verify that here the heritage is still remembered and is still very strong. But the vast majority of the country, including the vast majority of new Canadians, have no concern for our past. Don Cherry lost his job because he highlighted this very real truth. These people don't care about poppies. They don't care about what they see as a European war that they had very little to do with. They don't care about heritage, history, or language. There's a lot of them that do not care. And worse still, the Canadians who descend from that generation, clearly what we're tolerating from the Carney government, what we've been tolerating from the Liberal government, shows that we have completely forgotten anyway. So it's good to see this. But substantively, we have forgotten the lessons because many of the things that led to the Nazi dictatorship are occurring here in Canada right now. Censorship, extrajudicial authority, the Carney government deciding it wants to rely on dictators and despots and an anti-freedom EU more than we want to rely on the United States, governing by edict through orders and council, riding roughshod over the decentralized elements of our government to create a one Canadian economy. Some of the rhetoric matches up very close with one man with a mustache. Well, we're growing. Yay. We got football. SaskTel coverage freeze waves. Here we go. First thing, June 5th. It's now the 10th. And you've seen that legislation has been, or bills have been introduced in the House of Commons and the Senate that directly threaten the province. But Scott Moe's not tweeting about that. Earlier this week, I joined Ontario Premier Doug Ford in signing an agreement to remove trade barriers between Saskatchewan and Ontario. Doug Ford is not our friend. Doug Ford is Carney's friend. This is a really bad look for Scott Moe. Strengthening labor mobility, supporting direct-to-consumer alcohol sales, and helping to unlock billions in economic potential across Canada. This is integrating with Canada, with Doug Ford, a known bad actor, and celebrating it. And so here in the comments, could you explain Carney's comment, Premier? The movement of people, does this include more immigration? One economy, not 13? What does this mean? It means a loss of sovereignty. Prairie Man says, why good news? Why wasn't this done literally 100 years ago? Because the country wasn't designed to be one unified federal state. It's supposed to be independent provinces governing themselves and their eternal economies. Quebec has done very well through that very philosophy. And if, I dare say, if Quebec doesn't win for itself exemptions to C5 and some of these other bills, I will be very surprised. I don't think they have any chance of success because Quebec is the bulwark when it comes to the provinces having power and not the federal government. The problem is Quebec only cares about Quebec. They couldn't give a damn about Alberta and Saskatchewan being able to deploy the exact same powers and principles. And it sucks. Quebec doesn't have the big vision. The government there seems to only care about itself, which is, if it doesn't care about the broader concept being applied to all provinces, it's going to lose its own sovereignty, which it has done so well with. And now we have Daniel Smith. Hydrogen is Alberta's next great industry. Getting a little dust on the boots and meeting Albertans. Nothing better. Outstanding. Sure. Beautiful weekend in Brooks. It's interesting because when I talk to people in Brooks, the problems of mass immigration have definitely affected Brooks, but we're not talking about that. We got hockey. Absolutely right, Brian Jean. If Ottawa won't act, Alberta will. We're standing up for our economy, our workers, and our future, no matter what the feds try to throw at us. It is great to see BC reapprove this important natural gas project. This project is a game changer for BC, for Indigenous communities, and Canada's energy sector. More pipelines are not only possible, they are critical. These are all true things. And I'm glad to see Premier Smith talking about it. The problem is, in negotiating with an actor like Mark Carney, who is not acting in good faith, he's going to demand the surrender of provincial power for any perceived promise that the federal government gives you in terms of energy development. And they'll back out. They're committed to the destruction of the energy sector in this country. It's in his book, if only people would read it. It's part of their policy. It's the same government from the last 10 years. And we think because they swapped the village clown, Justin Trudeau, for somebody who's actually... Here's the problem. Justin Trudeau was good at doing what he was told. He was what you call a useful idiot. He was led around by his nose. And he mismanaged things. He made a mockery of the office, but Canadians just loved his hairdo and his soft, effeminate voice. But even they eventually tired of him and could see how toxic he was, so they swapped a glorified foreigner, Mark Carney, who hasn't even lived here, probably doesn't pay taxes here, likely pays taxes in Bermuda, had a New York apartment, gave interviews in the European Union where he identified as anything but Canadian. He's come in here. Now, respect and admiration are two different things. I have a lot of respect for Mark Carney. I have a lot of respect for any man who is a capable enemy. I think it's a baseline for effective opposition. Mark's not a stupid man. He's the guy that was advising Trudeau, leading him along by his nose. But now he's here to take the reins himself. When he shooed away Melanie Joly in the House of Commons, when he has given us glimmers of his actual personality, he has shown us that he is here to rule. We also should have learned by now that he is capable of directly contradicting himself from one sentence to the next without his body language indicating any change in the meaning of the words coming out of his mouth. That means he is a very effective and skilled liar. And for some reason, maybe it's just for optics, but more disconcerting to me, maybe it's not just optics. Daniel Smith and Premier Mo think they can make a deal with this man, a deal that they can expect him to come good on. I don't know if it's a patience game. I don't know if this is an attempt to put the sovereignist movement or the autonomous movement to sleep again, because both Smith and Moe have said they're interested only in staying in Canada, that they don't want separation. But at least they're allowing people to talk about it. But maybe they're hoping it'll fizzle out. My concern is that they will make a binding deal with this government at the same time as all these individual bills. Death by a thousand cuts. A thousand Trojan horses are undermining us as we're negotiating single-mindedly on energy and trade. They're doing the CPP thing. They're doing the C5 thing. They're doing the C2 thing. They're doing all of these bills at the same time, eroding at the same time as they're negotiating to give us something back. I don't know if they're paying attention. I don't know if people understand the gravity of the situation. We may never get an opportunity to defend provincial rights again. And a whole pile of people in this country are celebrating it. This idea of a stronger Canada, which the very government promising it has actively opposed this entire time. Let's examine for a moment the disinterest of the so-called media. The headline at the top in red is, "Breaking government failed to follow procurement and securities rules in GC strategies. Security rules were not followed when awarding contracts to company behind controversial ArriveCan app," report says. Now, this is an interesting one. It has to do with the structure of mainstream media articles. Canada's Auditor General says federal organizations failed to follow government procurement rules. The report on GC strategies is one of several audits tabled in the House of Commons today. We're only talking about one here. It says the company was awarded 106 contracts by 31 federal organizations. The max value of these contracts was more than $90 million, but only $65 million was paid out. So it's like a diminishment. It's like saying $65 million is less than $90 million, and it's a subtle way of letting you know that it's not as bad as it looks. Auditor General Karen Hogan looked at a sample set of contracts to see whether they fell in line with federal policy or whether the government got value for taxpayers' money. Her findings say many contracts did not follow procurement rules, and organizations often provided little evidence to show the work had actually been done. And that's it. So they let you know that there's very little evidence to show the work had actually been done. That money was given out to many companies. And we already know from anybody that's involved in the alternative media that a lot of these companies, the money went to addresses that were registered to offices, that the offices were empty and there was nobody there. It looks like a great big money laundering scheme, which, given the way this country works, shouldn't surprise anybody. Money laundering is massive. Why wouldn't the government be engaged in paying off their friends? Time and time again, we see stuff like this. The media doesn't paint the pattern. It doesn't write an article linking all of the things together in a timeline. It just puts out this little puff piece. Moving on from that, what's this? The CEO of the company that worked on the ArriveCan app was also a PPC candidate. Whoopsie. One of the things that I've done that may help me here in Saskatchewan, and it remains to be seen, is I bought myself a membership in the Saskatchewan Party. It's the first political membership I've had in a long time. My intention is to go to their convention and put these issues on the floor, whatever way I can. I think I would encourage other people in Saskatchewan to do the same thing. There aren't an abundance of people who go to these conventions. Maybe there's a bunch of people out there who want to attend the NDP convention because Carla Beck seems to be more concerned with Canada than she does the welfare and well-being of her own province. It wouldn't take many handfuls of people to influence the NDP in this province in a completely different direction. Maybe that's something to look into. I didn't give it much thought before I signed up for this. But that's part of my plan. Maybe it should be part of yours. And whether you're in Saskatchewan or you're in Alberta, maybe it's time to consider joining the UCP and getting involved that way. Attend some of those town halls that the Alberta Prosperity Project is putting on. Attend some of the town halls that Unified Grassroots is putting on here in Saskatchewan. Get involved. It's not too late. Because I don't know if the premiers are paying attention to the noose tightening around all of our necks here in Western Canada. It also affects those provinces that are on board with the federal government right now. It affects people in Ontario. It's your sovereignty that you will lose as well. So pay attention to that. As for me, I still need to rest my voice. If you can't tell, I'm still dealing with this thing. So I guess that's where I'll sign off. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one.